Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hi everyone. Today's episode involves discussions about suicide and sexual abuse, so please take care when listening. If you find that you need support or need to talk about any of the issues that have been raised for you, then please get in touch with Healthline on 0800 611 116. And we'll have more options for help on our page, rnz.co.nz/friedchicken. Hi, this is comedian and depressed alcoholic James Norkise, and you're listening to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower, a podcast about headspace and happiness for my safe place, the shower with fried chicken. In this episode, I'm talking to Rob Mokolaka, actor, writer, and mental health advocate. We'll talk about the way he makes theatre.
Kshopo has to be pono, tika, and aroha. It has to be true, it has to be correct in the way you deliver it, but it has to be imbued with love and compassion.
About getting his mental health message to the people.
It's just going to simplify it in a bread, butter, meat and potatoes way, so Kiwis go, oh, it's just a bloody potato.
And trying to talk to his accountant about taxes.
He's like English as. He's like, here's a box of tissues if you...
Some of this will get a bit real. The language, the subjects. So make sure you're in a safe space with your comfort food and join us eating fried chicken in the shower.
What chicken are we eating?
Chicken karage, my favourite.
This is my favourite. Is that Japanese chicken?
Japanese, cuz.
Why are we eating Japanese chicken? Why is a Māori and a Samoan in a shower in New Zealand eating Japanese chicken?
A lot of therapists will be asking us the same thing. But, bro, I think it's that they've got a fine art form for making chicken. Yeah. Everything is refined. There's aroha and there's precision in their kai.
I like that. I like it. Aroha and precision in the chicken. Let's get in.
E rongo. Ho mai ngā tipu, he whakakī te tinana. He oranga mō te tangata. Au eke. Hei. Get in there.
Killed it.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Oh, man.
There is aroha in that chicken.
And I think, just by tasting it, had a peaceful death.
Yeah. But we have something very unusual in common. Which is, we are both with suicide survivors.
Yes, we are.
Although in your particular case, my bro, your case was much more louder.
Yeah, that one's very public.
2009, just to frame it for people who don't know the story, you called the cops on yourself?
Yeah, that's right. This is all public knowledge because I'm doing the show, that I was swirling in the storm of depression and suicide thoughts. Mm-hmm. They said it's undiagnosed depression, but actually now it is unresolved trauma.
Yeah, right.
So that's what the key was. And I thought I deserved a violent death because I was spinning out of control mentally. Mm. And I called the police, described myself from head to toe, and I said, he's armed. Mm. So I armed myself with a meat cleaver, a soup ladle, and wrapped the soup ladle up in a tea towel, and I walked down to the road willing myself to be dead.
Yeah, what was the things that really just drove it?
This is what happened. So I say this in shop routine. I was in a crazy relationship. Mm-hmm. We're both swirling in the storm. Mm. None of us recognised it. I thought I needed to get off this crazy relationship, so I went to sleep with another woman.
Yeah, right.
I say this on the show. I come back to the current one. She said, did you sleep with her? I went, yeah. Thinking, fuck, this is going to be a relief. We're going to break up. But she held me too close. I also told her about my 3 abortions that I've had growing up.
Right.
And I kept that secret that was killing me, bro. Like, I've killed babies. So that relationship triggered everything underneath all of that. And in the last 2 years, I realised I've been sexually molested. And so all these things started to come up, and I'm like trying to push it down. I didn't know what was happening to me. I go, something's going to happen. So over 6 days, I didn't have any drinks or drugs. I just went, I have to be clean because I don't know what's happening. Because something was just fucking like, something was shaking within me, bro. And I felt it was going to burst. And I didn't know what was going to happen.
How many cops were there in the end?
I didn't count. But I only saw two.
Right.
And but apparently there was quite a few of them.
But except they didn't want to shoot you.
Oh, sorry, they did shoot me.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Close range.
Yeah.
Glock 9mm bullet right near my heart.
Yeah.
So I'm very lucky to be alive, bro. It zigzagged through my internal organs. I woke up in hospital with my guts wide open with machines and beeping sounds. And like I woke up from a nightmare. And I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm in so much pain. And the first thing I thought of was, I hope my dad doesn't know.
Oh, man.
And I said to this nurse, she was actually Cook Island. No, she's not a nurse, she was a doctor. She was hot. And she says, "What? You got any other infections that you think we need to look at?" And I said, something wrong with my back. I always get sore because I'm on my back constantly in my guts. And she goes, I have a look. And she went in and she went, oh, hang on, I'm just going to have to give you some more morphine. Gave me some morphine, started sticking it into my back. Next question she says is, do they find that bullet? Because I've just had surgeries. I went, no. She goes, hang on. So she extracts a rib, piece of rib, because my ribs have been cracked and the bullet cracked through it. And then she dug deeper and then she extracted the shell casing from the Glock 9mm bullet. And I said, can I hold it? Because it was so painful. And I held it and went, you little shit. But I didn't realise, you know, I'm the one who caused this. I created this event. And I got shot because I scared the police.
I'm real glad that I ate some chicken before I asked about the surgery.
I'm still going to eat my chicken.
I'll get back. I'm not going to dismiss the chicken.
No, don't dismiss me.
Although, hey, look, if you get to a point where you need to eat my chicken, you can go ahead.
Bro. Thanks, bro. I'm looking at it.
Eating fried chicken in the shower. Quality chicken for quality chats.
I remember it. Everyone was like, it was, did you hear about Rob? Except for me, I was going, who's Rob?
that guy.
Oh. But were you aware of how big, like it was a nationwide story? Like,
I suppose I was too traumatized at the time, but it became more aware to me that the media were everywhere. And they started to harass and haunt my family, like just unrealistic numbers, ringing my grandmother, harassing her for a story. Oh. And she's like, who's this? I'm here to help Rob. The media were also chasing me through court cases. So they were like a hungry pack of dogs. And I realised that the media at that time wanted to be the first to take a bite out of me and go, yes, I got first blood. I got first blood. Doesn't have to have any facts in it. It can be made up, which they did make some shit up, which upset my family. So it was quite traumatizing on top of the traumatization of but it made me realize that not all journalists, but there's quite a few of them that are just all about the story and there's no humanity.
Hashtag not all journalists. You're a bro who got shot.
Yeah.
And your show is called Shot Bro.
Yeah.
Is part of you naming that to like, you're bringing it into the light, but also to remind yourself to keep it light?
Yeah, it's because it's funny, dark, real. And when I first pitched it to a couple of mates, they went, oh, it's a bit dark, bro. It is a bit dark. And I went, too soon? I was the one saying, too soon? They were like, oh, yeah, bro, it's way too soon. I thought that's the name of the show, and I kept it. Like, people said you shouldn't say that. Maybe change it to a different name. And it was helping me using humour to open up Shop Bro into a theatre show, which someone said, because I'm in it, they go, it's more like a theatre show combined with a seminar. So I'm using this as a tool for education and healing, and using humour as a way to unlock some very heavy subject material.
I remember doing oratory and being told, you know, you should try and get a negative, you know, a sadness, because it's much easier for people to relate through sadness than through joy. I was like, you have not hung out with Māori and PI.
Yeah, totally. That's how we get through shit.
Yeah.
But we use tikanga in particular, Māori tikanga, to frame Shot Bro. As the audience are coming in, we're meeting and greeting them, my cousin or my mate Tangaroa, who's my stage manager and kaitiaki. Is that we meet and greet people. So as they're coming in, they go, oh, this Rob seems pretty normal. And I'm thinking, yeah, we'll just get to know each other. And then you're going to know the real me to where I was 9 years ago. So that's kind of like an informal mihi whakatau, because they sit down, we introduce ourselves to kaupapa, and then we do the show, then we do the forum. The forum is actually the real healing part, because once they watch Rob sweat everywhere for 75 minutes, they go, thank God I'm not like him, I could be, but they go, I'm going to get help. And then we have the forum, and after we have the forum, we close that with a karakia, because we opened up the space, now we close it, and then the next section is to eat food and have cups of tea, so we keep grounding ourselves before people go home. Yeah.
Have you been challenged on your truth?
I've been challenged a lot, because people have been triggered in the sense like, how dare he speak about this thing that I'm living? And why did you make it so funny? I had somebody approach me.
Why did you make it so funny?
Why did you make it so funny? Depression's not funny. And I realised, oh, I've triggered it.
Where did you draw your stability from in those moments?
So my cousin helped, my cousin Clint Edmonds. He goes, Shopbo has to be puno, tika and aroha. It has to be true. It has to be the truth. It has to be correct in the way you deliver it. But it has to be imbued with love and compassion. And it's easier to just be walking on the truth, but if you have no aroha, it turns into a blame game, and I'm the expert.
Yeah.
But it's not the case with me. I'm telling everybody who comes to Shopper, just because I've seen heaps of shrinks doesn't mean I am one, nor am I an expert.
It's because I think New Zealand's often the idea of help, right? Not just mental health help, but the idea of asking for help. So, you know, going to a shrink can be seen as a sign of weakness, but also I think there's that that number 8 fence wire mentality means that Kiwis are brought up to go, oh, I can figure it out. You know, just give me a hammer and a nails and I'll build myself a good mental health structure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's just we have to unlearn all that. Mm. We have to unlearn it.
Is it scary when you go to the shrink for the first time?
Yeah. I saw a shrinking about a year and a half ago, thanks to Mike King. He shouted me one, because he said, I think you might need to defrag after that. And I went, I think I do. So I walked in there after seeing lots of shrinks, thinking, man, I'm pretty cool, I'm another day at the office. I parked outside his office, I started walking up the steps, I started to get fear, because I'm going, oh, I've been here before, but I was scared to go into the deep dark place to start talking about it again. Stuff that I hadn't really looked at. So, and that's okay, because at the end of the day, they're not there to hurt you. They're just here to make sure that you can be lighter after you leave the office. And a good thing about Singer Shrink, and I say this in Shopper, is that we're not related.
Yeah,
right. So when I go, I talk about my past, they don't go, your auntie done it, your uncle said it, and they all go, and nothing gets solved.
Is it easier, having survived your suicide, to go, this is scary? Is it as scary as getting shot by the police?
Oh, absolutely, bro. People go, it must be traumatic for you to revisit that incident. And I go, it's not as traumatic as the actual day. I said, I'm just pretending. There's no police officer. It's just me. So I'm just pretending. Oh, ouch! And people are crying or laughing. And then they go, oh, it must be intense. And no.
Eating fried chicken in the shower. Do it with someone you trust.
So Mike sent me to a shrink. And then once I started to process it during Shopro and all that touring, I went to my cousin, who I really trust. As a man and my whānau, there's not many I could speak openly. I go, cuz, can I come over? Yep. So cuz, I want to tell you something. I had to see a shrink recently because, I just started having memories of being sexually molested. I thought that was someone else's. And he just said, not you too, cuz.
Oh, no.
No, wait, what? So all these feelings of, like, all these triggers I told you about were real, but at the core, I keep going down into the matrix, is I've been sexually molested. And so I compartmentalised it, and I only remembered it. My ex said, I think you remembered it because now you're mentally ready, spiritually. If you'd found out 5 years ago, I don't think you'd be handling it this well. I went, oh, that's true. I would have fucking flipped out. So just having acknowledged that sexual abuse happened in our family in front of my aunties and my nan gave me some sense of relief. Not that I'm out to blame anybody. I just needed to acknowledge that this shit happened in our whānau.
Your dad's a soldier?
Yeah, he's an ex-Vietnam veteran.
Ex-Vietnam vet. How's he with this kōrero?
He's pretty good. He's been pretty open. He asked me how I am.
Yeah.
Asked me where I've been. Because Dad was traumatised, and he opened. We just spoke about that because I just revealed to him that I'm going to be doing some stuff for the military.
Yeah, right.
He was like, about time.
Right.
From a former soldier who went through extreme trauma in the Vietnam War, he said, about time. And he said he didn't get help or didn't get seen by a psychiatrist until 10 years after the war. Well, because he's in the army for a long time.
Mm.
So I thought, so for 10 years, these men from Vietnam were told to take off their uniforms because they just came from a war of shame.
Mm.
They killed in the name of freedom and New Zealand. And they're traumatized and have to deny that they're in that. So they're walking around freaking out, trying to be normal. And some of them are in the army for ages. And as my dad says, you know, drugs and alcohol were suppressants to try and hide all of this. And those are his mates. And some have got through it, like he has, and some haven't.
What's it like having that kind of conversation with your dad?
It's massive. Bro, it's massive. I don't take it lightly. When he talks, I go, he's like Clint Eastwood, bro. He's like, he keeps his feelings in, but when he talks, I got something to say. And I go, shit, I'm listening.
Have you talked to them about the sexual abuse?
I told my dad.
Yeah?
I told two aunties.
Yeah.
I thought I'd tell my dad just in case our whānau start whispering.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, did you know that? So I said to my dad, because Dad had to see shrink again. I had memories of being sexually molested, so I had to go and get that out and talk about it. He just went to me, very Clint Eastwood, are you all right now? I went, yeah, I'm good. Just thought I'd tell you. Just nodded. Because what's he going to say? He's old school, bro.
Yeah.
He's old school.
And your mum?
Oh, my mum sings shop, bro. Yeah. She's beautiful. My mum lives in Aussie.
Mm-hmm.
And she flew over when all the shit went down.
Mm.
And my sister from Aussie. She loves me and she just wants me to be well. She always talks about her mukos.
Mm.
And I say, I'm still doing shop, bro. She's proud of me. Because, you know, I think my mum's been through stuff too.
Mm.
All our parents, it's just that it was never a conversation that you were ever, ever allowed to have.
Mm. You're going to have a conversation with her about the sexual abuse?
I told her.
You told her?
Told her over the phone.
Over the phone?
I said, mum. Da, da, da. And my mum, I love my mum. She was like, she went, that didn't happen, son. I went, oh, okay, mum. And I was like, I'm getting teary-eyed talking about it. And I wanted to protect her because I was and it seems like, it's not your fault.
Mm.
Like, that's, none of this is my mum's fault.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, okay, mum, it did, but I'm just letting you know. Mm. This is what I'm saying openly in shop, bro, in the forum.
Mm.
And she goes, I love you, son. And I was like, oh, far out, thanks, mum. So, yeah, you know, teary-eyed thinking about protecting my mother, about my own stuff.
Mm.
And I think a lot of kids do, who have been abused, they feel like if they keep the secret, they're going to protect family members, whereas that secret is killing them.
Mm.
And after the show, I have adults and kids come up to me and say, thanks for saying that. It happened to me.
Mm.
And I say, are you in a safe place now? Yeah, we're living out of the house and the uncle has been taken away. And I'll go, phew.
Mm.
And so by me revealing this, I'm just hoping that someone goes, I can talk and get help.
Eating fried chicken in the shower? Take your time and make a playlist.
In stand-up, we worry about, you know, hecklers or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But we've often got security if things really, you know.
Mm.
But you travel, just you and your cousin and...
Yeah, or Tangaroa and any good friend who I feel can... Who are from that area? You've seen the show a few times,
right,
brother,
right.
Or sis.
Yeah.
How do you feel about being my kaitiaki in your town? And so that, yeah. But I've been beaten up by a cousin of mine, actually.
Right. So
family.
I shouldn't laugh, but...
Family, bro.
Yeah, right.
So I was touring into a little community called Taniatoa, and I met my cousin for the first time. We whakapapa on my tour. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, great. He's a Māori healer.
You got beaten up by a Māori healer.
Who is my cousin? So, but another thing is, bro, everyone was drinking alcohol when I was just warming up for the show. We're in the art gallery.
You got beaten up by a Māori healer in an art gallery.
Yeah, next to it, right next to it, yeah. Bro, this is my cousin. So we're in an art gallery and everyone's drinking alcohol and I'm thinking nothing of it, bro.
Mm.
And then in the first 5 minutes of the funniest part about Rob, legendary All Black Rob Mokaraka, his coach Steve Hansen, all that, he stands up with his can of beer. And he marches out Just like everyone's laughing, except for him. He walks out, but he doesn't leave the show. He just sits in the doorway and watches me and keeps drinking alcohol. I think nothing of it, bro. And I finished the show. People of the community speak from the heart. I have a couple of beers with some food. I go, this is beautiful. I tell my team editor and my producer at the time, Moana, go home. I'm with my whānau. So when the last person left, bro, that kazi was smiling at me the whole night, just turned on me and smashed the shit out of me so badly, I had to cancel my last two shows.
Oh, man.
Set a precedence that no alcohol, if you're inviting Shopper, is allowed to be anywhere near me or the co-popper.
Yeah. Is that the worst? I should rephrase that. Is that a bad response?
Yeah, violence is always a bad response.
Yeah.
And what I realised was, I triggered him with a he because he's pretending to everybody that he's a guru.
Right.
So when you've got a mask on and you've had trauma, and I look at it, obviously, like, there must be unresolved trauma in his whakapapa. And so I triggered him, but he was using alcohol as a masking agent. And so when you try and use alcohol when you're down, it creates the tanefa tenfold. So, you know, anger is fear. So he was angry because he was scared. And so violence is the inability to articulate your frustration.
You're a father.
I'm a dad of two daughters, 14 and 7, and my 7-year-old, she asked her mother to see Shoprite 1 month ago.
How's that, brother?
That was huge. She was with all my nephews and nieces because my cousins bring their kids because people are bringing their kids to normalize it.
Yeah.
Because kids are emotionally intelligent. They get the heart of the matter. Like my niece said when she was 9, oh, uncle, your show's about sad people need lots of love and hugs. And that's exactly what my show's about. And that's so beautiful, bro.
Yeah, bro.
The simplicity, the emotional intelligence. Whereas adults go, you had a mental breakdown because of that's what happened and you weren't dealing with your shit. And no wonder you had that. And I'm like, geez, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to see a psychiatrist. And kids are just going, oh, you need a hug. My 7-year-old daughter asked her because we knew she had questions. She wasn't scared at the show. She's with her cousins. She asked a question to me recently. She was dead. She saw some fireworks and it reminded her for some reason of Shopro, of me being shot.
Yeah, right.
And she goes, will that happen again, Dad? She needed assurance from me as her father that I'm never going to get to that point again. She's 7, bro.
Yeah.
And she goes, Dad, can you, that's not going to happen? Well, it's not going to happen, my darling, because Dad is not sick anymore, because Dad knows he has to talk about his thoughts and emotions so he doesn't become sick again. And I said, thanks to you and your sister, I'm extra happy that you're in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm in a very special place that I want my daughters to know they can talk about anything because Dad got sick. Secrets keep you sick. But it's just talking about it and normalizing it and giving our kids tools. And the first tool is, you're allowed to talk about your mental health. You're allowed to talk about when you're feeling scared or angry. You bottle that shit up and explode. It's not good for anyone.
So what makes your buttons go, oh, hang on a second?
Tax. And my accountant is very straight up and down, bro. He's like English as. He's like, here's a box of tissues if you I'm like, thank you. Thanks for that.
God, emotion.
Emotion.
Oh, Lord.
Now, let's stick to these figures, Rob. Get your shit together. Not that he said that, but look in his face like, we've got to get this on back on the road.
How do you decompress?
Fishing.
Fishing.
I've got to get my ass on a boat or off the rocks and just go fishing. That is like, it's my calm time, my happy place.
What is it about fishing?
I don't know. It's like on the ocean is healing in general. You know, just a passive aggressive hunter with the rod, and there's something about that with nature, and I'm going to eat that fish.
Yeah,
I'm going to eat that. That's my kai, and I go, there's something just calming about being on the water. It's a way to a cleanse being on the ocean. I'm all on the spiritual way to a buzz.
Yeah.
To help balance the mental.
Yeah. Huh. I just hear Kiwi blokes just going, I just like to fish. Why not? Yeah, there's a white oil buzz on it. No, I just do the line and
kidding. Yeah, and then Ed, do the line, get away from the missus. She's on my case. bloody kids have been yelling and screaming. I'm gonna have this time for me. And it's them time.
Because Kiwis, like, you know, we talk about the solitary Kiwi man, but I feel sometimes maybe that's because we know It's like, we're like, oh, is mental health a big thing? It's like, yeah, but we know. But like you say, the language isn't quite there. Because there is a part of Kiwis that go, oh, yeah, sometimes you need to be by yourself.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just got to simplify it in a bread, butter, meat and potatoes way. So Kiwis go, oh, it's just a bloody potato. I need time away.
Is there anything else you'd like to share in the shower, brother?
Oh, no, brother. It's just that talking about mental health should be as normal as breathing.
Mm.
And we all deserve as much aroha and help as often as we need. And I say that to men, women, kids, teenagers, because the suicide stats are so ridiculously high. We need to be the change now. That's all, my bro.
Kia ora, my brother.
Thanks again for listening. If you find that now or in the future you need support or need to talk about any issues that have been raised for you, then please get in touch with Healthline 0800 611 116 or your health professional. And we have more options for help on our page rnz.co.nz/friedchicken. Thank you very much and take care of yourself. Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower was produced by Charlie Bleakley and presented by me, James Nokise. The engineer is Blair Stagpool. The executive producers are Justin Gregory and Tim Watkin. Subscribe to every episode of this podcast at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, or at radionz.co.nz/series. And while you're on Apple, please rate us by clicking on ratings and review, then the stars. But only give us 5. It's really simple and means way more to us than it does to you. It's a great way to spread the word and get me more free fried chicken. If you want to share your safe space or comfort food, tweet me at James Nokise. All complaints can be tweeted to RNZ. Faftailava, matewa.
This podcast is made possible by the RNZ New Zealand On Air Innovation Fund.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.